Well, I can truly say amen to that song. You know, life is a battle, but it's worth fighting, isn't it? Especially when you're on the Lord's side. The song said, keep on the firing line. Well, what is the firing line? Anyone?
Sounds like a dangerous
line. That's right. That's right. Is it someone cowered back in a corner somewhere? No, it's not. It's those that are fighting on. And that's some of what I have to talk about this evening. I'll write the title on the board here. What I have written on the board is, be of good courage. And this is actually a quote from one of King David's generals, Joab. And it's referring to a battle. And this is a unique circumstance. We'll turn and read this in 2 Samuel, the 10th chapter. And it's kind of an unusual story. It's one I remember, in fact, when I was younger, in a little Bible storybook. I remember seeing the pictures in the Bible storybook, and that's what really got my attention. You understand here in a little bit the pictures that they painted or drew and was in the storybook. I've never forgot it. But back then, I really didn't understand. I was just a little guy. I didn't really understand what the whole story was about. But now that, as the song was saying, I'm on the firing line with everyone else, I can understand what the story is about. But I want to start off with, before we get into this, and say, even though it is a small crowd here this evening, the fact that you all are here tonight, that's the firing line. The devil fights this very thing right here. Just coming out to worship service. I mean, it seems simple to some people. Others, it may be more complicated. Some, they have physical issues. Some, it's maybe a distance they have to travel or other family issues. But just the fact of showing up to service is a blow to the devil. You realize that? And I've thought back in my time with the Lord that, and I've shared this before, I'll share it again though, but I remember a time when Wednesday night services, I really didn't like going to them. I was even saved at this time, just a teenager. But the reason I didn't really enjoy them is I had this fear and intimidation that I had to testify. And I was greatly afraid of that. I just despised getting up and speaking in front of people, believe it or not. But, and so I, Wednesday night, when the words Wednesday night prayer meeting, I'm like, oh, I just, every, you know, I didn't want to go. Why don't I tell you something? There's something about it that the more you're on the firing line, the more you enjoy the Wednesday night services. And for that matter, any of the services of the Lord. But the point is, I want to say tonight that we do more for each other than we realize. Just to see someone's face, even in town. I've seen some of God's people in town, you know, some of the congregation or others, and I'm like, wow, that's encouraging, you know. Or it's for them to call me up, you know, and I see their name on my caller ID. I'm like, in fact, I just had a brother a few weeks ago. I hadn't seen him for several months, maybe a year. I can't remember how long it's been. He lives a long ways off, but he just called me up out of the blue just to say, hey, brother, I'm praying for you. And he's like, I didn't really have anything, just been thinking about you, been praying for you, stay encouraged. And I didn't have a chance to talk to him. I tried calling him back later. We played phone tag. But anyway, but just that little part there, that's being on the firing line. That's being willing to stick your neck out there and be vulnerable. Well, I don't know if they're going to like this or not, but you still reach out, and you still are willing to fight against the enemy is really what you're doing. But this story here is an interesting story. To give a little background, this is during David's reign as king, and he had a little incident here. And basically, let's start reading the first verse here in 2 Samuel, the 10th chapter. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will shew kindness unto Hanan, the son of Naash, as his father shewed kindness unto me. Now, what David is getting at here is there was a time when David was running for his life. When King Saul was pursuing him, David was running for his life. And he sought refuge with the Ammonites. And they showed kindness to him at that time, helped protect him a place where he could get away from King Saul. And King David never forgot that. And so when this king died, and his son was king in his stead, let's look what he was trying to do. And he said, and David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. So what David is doing here is basically sending some ambassadors, some representatives. We'll just put it this way. Like when someone has someone we love, they die. And if we can't go, but if we have some friends or family or whoever to go in our place to represent us at the funeral, it's just going to show kindness to them and respect. And that's really what David was doing. He was trying to show respect to this king that had died. And so he sends his servants to the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, and that he sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? So here you have, how many times is, you know, you have good intentions. You're trying to help someone. You're trying to reach out to them or whatever the case may be. But the devil will take these little things and cause suspicions. Well, they're just kind of buttering up to me because they're fixing to ask a favor. You know, or they're just trying to be good to me just to make me like them or whatever the case is. Or you understand what I'm saying? The devil will use suspicions so many times just to stir up trouble. And that's exactly what was going on here. David had nothing else in mind but just to pay respect. You know, that's easy to do. In the flesh, as humans, that how many times maybe, we'll just use this example, even in church services, somebody may say something or do something and they're not really intending it to offend or to hurt or whatever, but the devil will take that and say, do you remember what so-and-so said? And do you really, maybe they were intending it to mean this, or maybe they were really talking to you. You see what I'm saying? Or sometimes a preacher will get up and he'll say something and it feels like that they're preaching right at them or yourself or me or whoever. I'm like, oh, well, how did they know that? Well, they didn't. The Lord just gave it to them to say. But the point is, the devil will use suspicion so many times that, and it's innocent, you know, that everyone's just trying to help each other. But, you know, the devil will do that because he knows that if he can find a little inroad and get you discouraged from being on the firing line, okay, from going to church services or speaking or doing, what's the scripture say, be not weary in well-doing, that just doing well and helping others, that you just going out and trying to help someone, say they drop something out of their bag at Walmart or something and you kindly pick it up and they turn around and scowl at you, you know, and well, that kind of discourages from doing it again, but should we stop? Does that mean we stop doing good things? No, don't be weary in well-doing. Well, that's what King David was doing here, trying to administer comfort. Well, but the children of Ammon, they didn't stop there. They were suspicious of him, said, he's just coming to spy on us. So here's what they did. Wherefore Hanan took David's servants and shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle and sent them away. You know, that is quite a disgrace, is it not? And here's the interesting fact. If you look into the history of this, that shaving the beards were a symbol of manliness. So that was, they took pride in. That was just something that they all had. I mean, you had a beard. And to shave off half of it was a tremendous insult. Just shave it right down the middle. And that was the image that I remember as a little child, was seeing how this artist had depicted all these soldiers just kind of standing there, you know, And half of their beards are shaved off and half their clothes are stripped off. And I'm thinking, wow, that is so bizarre. But that's just what the devil does. He'll try to intimidate and infuriate and just to make a big scene and a big mess over just some simple kindness. Isn't that amazing? The devil is so ruthless. But this is exactly what happened. And so they were shaved off. And so when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. So David had compassion on him. He's like, I understand. This is very humiliating. You're very ashamed. Just go take your time till your beards can be restored and then come back. Well, and when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, you know what that means, stank? That means David thought very ill morally about what they did. David's like, this is not a good thing. That was, and if they would have really thought what they were doing, if they would have really realized who they were messing with, so to speak, this is a man of God, a great warrior, and they're stirring up something here. And it says, and they stank before David, and the children of Ammon sent the hired, and the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians. And it goes on here where they realize they're like, uh-oh, we made a mistake. We picked on the wrong guy here. We picked on the wrong soldiers, the wrong men, the wrong servants. We shouldn't have done this, but it's too late. But you know how it is with the Lord, with God's children sometime? That when one is down, and when it seems like the devil's just picking on one, and we step up to the plate, so to speak, and we come to the ready and say, oh, you got a problem, brother? Well, let me pray for you. Let me, whatever the case is, and then all of a sudden everyone's in agreement of prayer, and the devil's going, I picked on the wrong one here. Now everybody's coming alive. Everybody's digging down. Everybody's searching. Everybody's praying and fighting, and the devil's going, what do I do now? But that's exactly what happened here. And so the children of Ammon, they're hiring some help. Say, hey, we need some help here. So they hire the Syrians to come help them. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering end of the gate. And it goes on down here. And when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. So basically he's splitting up the armies here, two good generals, and going to try to face the enemies here on two different fronts. And here Joab said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Now isn't that awesome? Isn't that what the children of God do for each other in the family of God? That's what we do for each other. That's why we come to worship services. That's why we call one another. That's why we check in on one another. That's why we go to camp meetings and we go to revivals and we travel around, and because we're interested in one another. We want to encourage one another. And that's what Joab is saying here. He's like, hey, if I get to where I'm needing some help and I'm feeling outnumbered and fixing to be defeated, I'm going to signal for help over here, and you come help me, and vice versa. You know, that's the same with the children of God, that we have one another. Of course, we have the Lord, ultimately. But the point is, we also need one another. What's the song say? And I think it's number 509. We need each other, brethren. And what's it say? In a world filled with what? Violence and hatred. Isn't that what it is? You realize that's exactly what was going on here. It was violence and hatred and an innocent thing. Just trying, and you could say that all I'm trying to do for the Lord is just, I just want to live for the Lord and I'm not bothering anybody else. You understand the point here? But the devil's saying, that ain't good enough. You're living for another God. And the devil doesn't like that. So he's going to start picking on us. But this is where we can say, okay, devil, you start picking on me and you're picking on my brother too. You realize that's really what it's amounting to. But it goes on here. Listen to this. He says in verse 12, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good. You realize what he's saying here? Basically, this was not a selfish battle. This was just sticking up for their fellow brethren, okay? And this was not something to go out and show so-and-so, just going out and randomly picking on someone, being a bully, basically. Just going and picking on someone just to show how big I am. I'm going to go pick on you and defeat you. No, they were going out doing good for the Lord, and they're attacked. And so it's like, okay, well then, this is for the Lord. It's saying here, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. This was a battle for the people, for each other, and for the Lord. It was not a selfish endeavor here. And it says, let us play the men and be of good courage. You realize what that's saying? That's saying, don't be a wimp. And that term is used so much in our world today. Let me tell you something. There are millions of spiritual wimps. Sad to say, I'm not just being judgmental here. I'm just saying, by simple observation, by those that have gone astray, they once tasted of the rivers of the pleasure of life. They once tasted of salvation. But then they've gone away and they've forsaken all that and they go into a terrible pit of sin. They turn all that away. Let me tell you something. That's simply a spiritual wimp. That's someone that was not taking good courage, and that's something that was not playing the men for our people. But I want to tell you something. We all, again, are humans. We all are tempted. And there's times when the devil's going to come up to even some of the mighty warriors of God. Maybe some saint of God that's been living for the Lord for 40 or 50 years. I've talked with some that's had this before. In fact, my grandpa McMillan, I remember different times, he would say, you know, we ask how each other's doing. He's like, oh, I'm pressing the battle on, you know. And basically, he was alluding to the fact that he's having some battles. And he'd been serving the Lord for over 60 years. And he was still having some difficulties. You know what? That gave me courage to realize he's still having to fight. That means, guess what? I'm going to have to fight too. And I haven't been serving the Lord near as long, but it gave me courage. And like, you know what? He's not giving up. And he's an older man and he's frail. But yet, he's fighting on. What's he doing? He's being of good courage and he's playing the men for our people. And let me tell you something. And how many times have we seen others up in years or some that have maybe through great afflictions, and you're thinking, well, why are they going through this this affliction and this serious trial? And maybe some that have been old, there's different ones we've known that maybe they had a great affliction for years and they were up in years and they were just praying to go on. But yet, they were patient with the Lord and they just kept living for the Lord every day, day in and day out. You know what that's being? That's being this right here. Let's play in the men for the people. That's being an example. And there's another scripture in the New Testament that says, quit ye like men. That means don't quit. Just keep living for the Lord, doing those little, what seemingly insignificant things every day for the Lord. And guess what that's doing? That's just giving the devil another punch in the eye. Every day I'm willing to live for the Lord and to be of good courage and to keep fighting and keep on the firing line like we were saying earlier. Say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on today, and maybe I don't feel good. Emotionally I'm drained, or physically I have some issues here. But Lord, I remember how you've been faithful to me all these times before. I remember what you did for brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And they're counting on me to pray for them. And I'm counting on them to pray for me. And so let's just fight on, you know. Well, you realize we can do this. And this is something, again, the devil is fighting so hard against this. Against, how can I put this? The devil wants us, well, the scriptures, I believe it's in Daniel. The devil's trying to wear out the camp of the saints. That's really what he's doing. And so on every side possible, even when we're doing good things for the Lord, and we're just trying to mind our own business and just live for the Lord, the devil's going to find out some way, even when you're not around anyone, he's going to start tormenting your mind, maybe trying to sow some seeds of doubt that you're even saved, Or that you're even sanctified. Or when you got baptized, well, that means nothing. Or you gave a testimony the other night and that sounded so ridiculous. Why'd you do that? You should never do that again. And that's just the devil playing with your mind. It doesn't matter where you're at. He's a big old bully, just picking on you. And that's exactly what the Ammonites were doing. Oh, here comes the servants of David. And, oh, they're trying to help us out here. Well, let's just go show them. And so the devil takes off and starts harassing them. And that's just what the devil does to us. But I'm encouraged tonight that God's people, and I've used this little mental image before, and I don't know the exact term of what they're called, but these little plastic toys, inflated with air, these little children's toys, and just a big oval shape, and at the bottom, they're weighted down at the bottom, and you can hit them, and they'll knock over, but they come right back up. Any direction you hit them, they'll bob and go down and side to side, but they just keep coming back up. You know, that's just like the children of God. That's just like those that, like, no matter what, I'm not going to be weary and well-doing. I'm just going to keep doing the things that I know I should be doing, even though they may seem insignificant, even though no one else knows about them, and even though maybe I don't get the praise and the honor and glory I should get, I'm just going to keep pressing on, quitting like men. That means not quitting, basically. But it says here, be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And the rest of the story here is, they won the victory. The Lord was honored in this, because they weren't fighting a selfish battle. Do you realize there's people out there today in Christendom, understand what I'm saying here, that they put on a show for the Lord and for God's people? Just because they want to be seen, they want to be heard, they want the praise and the honor and the glory, and they're willing to do this and willing to do that. And, well, read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But there's something that's missing. It's the true love of God and His people. And just putting on a show. But let me tell you something. True saints of God, I enjoy being around them. They're an encouragement to me. And how many times... I'll mention again, just recently, was reminded, well, different times, in fact, of, Brother Mark Sammons and the old saying he had of steady as you go, steady as you go. And different ones that, and my grandma McMillan, I just shared with someone the other day that one of her, favorite mottos and sayings was, don't quit, don't quit. I mean, that's just a simple two words. But that's what came out of her mouth so often when we started talking about the things of God. And she started sharing the times when she was a teenager. Here in Neosho, she was the only teenager that stuck it out for the Lord. All the rest of them went away. Now, she could have got discouraged and just kind of threw in the towel. But no, she did this. Be of good courage. She got a hold of the Lord and she didn't quit. She just kept on, and she kept on, and she kept on. And then guess what? Well, here some of us are here tonight, her grandchildren. Just because she was faithful. So think what impact you can have just by doing this. Being of good courage. Just not quitting. Just not stopping. Even though you get knocked down, like that little toy I was describing earlier. Even though you get knocked down and maybe you get roughed up a little bit. And maybe you stub your toe a little bit and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And well, as I mentioned earlier, the devil will beat you up. He'll beat you down, make you feel like you're nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're a child of God, the Lord sees your condition and He hears your cries and He looks at the circumstances and He, He realizes that, you know what, you're going to affect a lot of people if you do give up. And so He's just standing there waiting to hear a cry for help. Just waiting to extend His hand of mercy and extend the grace, whatever you need in that time. There's a scripture here. In Psalms, the 27th chapter. And in verse 14. Let's turn to read that real quick. Psalms 27. Psalms 27 and 14. And again, this is a psalm of David, but it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, you can take that a couple of different ways. Yes, you can wait on the Lord as in, and it's just what it's saying here. Basically, be patient with the Lord, and he has his way and his timing and all that. But there's also another side of it. And you think of this as people that wait on tables at a restaurant. That means they're at your service. They're ready and willing to do whatever you want them to do. Well, you could say it this way too, that we can be waiting on the Lord, saying, "Lord, I'm ready and willing." And just waiting for his call, waiting for his command. But there's something about it. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Sometimes your heart just needs strengthened. And sometimes, you know what that means? That just means being still. And maybe just pondering on the goodness of God. And just meditating on the Lord. And then you draw courage and you draw strength from that. And maybe it's just reading some other stories in the Bible like we read here where God heard their prayers and he came to their rescue and they won the battle and all these things, that God's not going to forsake his children, okay? And so that strengthens your heart. And then it's also what I mentioned earlier. You come to worship services and you hear it again. The same story in and out. Oh, maybe different versions, but we heard the testimonies tonight of how the Lord had protected different ones. The Lord helped different ones find things. The Lord touched bodies and the Lord worked out these things. And that's the Lord working for us. And so that should help us to be of good courage. And what better place to come than in the presence of the Lord here collectively, and our courage is built up, our hearts are strengthened, and we're ready to press the battle on. And that leads us to another scripture in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, familiar scripture, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." You realize that's basically what we're doing? When we come to worship services and we raise our hand to the songs and we sing the songs and we testify and we listen to the messages, listen to the testimonies, we go home and we live those things out. We ask the Lord to search us and to work with us and to teach us, and the Lord does that, and we come back to service, and we thank the Lord for that. And it's just this continual cycle, day in and day out, week in and week out. But guess what it's doing? Guess what you're doing? You're laying up treasures in heaven. You're laying up an investment up there. And it's one of those things that the more you do for the Lord, the sweeter he grows to you. What's that song say? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Isn't that true with the Lord? That the more we do for him, the more we wait on the Lord, the more we, times that we've maybe been down and out, but we are of good courage and we didn't quit, we didn't stop, and we bounce back up and say, "Lord, I mean to go right on and to press the battle on." And it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So we could maybe let's ask the question this way. What are we fighting for? Is it selfish ambitions? I mentioned earlier that there are some in this world that's all. You realize there's some people that take positions in churches just for the money and just for their resume, that they bounce around to different churches and congregations and just so they can have this big portfolio and this big resume. Oh, I did such and such for this church, and I did such and such for this church, and just goes on and on. And I'm thinking, what's the point? What are you doing for the Lord? So what are we fighting for? What are we doing when we come to worship services? What's the point of it? It's to give honor and praise to the Lord and to encourage one another Be of good courage. This is a good way, and it's not just be of courage. Be of good courage. You realize there can bad courage is actually what we were just talking about. That's doing things for an ulterior motive. That's being selfish. That's being not considering anything else but what's in it for you. That I want to be courageous in this because I'm going to get this and this and this and this and this. And this that I'm going to deserve this and this. That's bad courage. But to be of good courage, it's actually just what we read earlier. It's what Joab and David was encouraging. You go out and do this for the Lord and do this for the people. And if you're not selfish in these things, God is going to honor that. He's going to bless that. And ultimately, they won the victory. You know, that same victory is there for you and I. If we're willing to fight the good fight of faith and to do it unselfishly as unto the Lord and for each other, God's going to honor that. And He's going to bring us victory. And ultimately, we'll win the grand prize. We'll make it over into heaven. We'll see all those treasures that we'd laid up in heaven. And we'll see, maybe there will be some souls there that we touched that we had no idea. Maybe they got saved just because of one little act of kindness that we did and we knew nothing about it. We just kept on living for the Lord day in and day out. But someone may have made it to the other side just because of something you did for them. You realize that's how God works? Isn't that wonderful? We won't know on this side of eternity what all others have done for us, what we've done for others. That's the secret of the Lord. That's the mystery of godliness, that He doesn't reveal all those things. But one of these days, it'll be so exciting to get over there and to hear all the praise and honor and testimonies of all the millions, the hosts that are over there, of how they made it to heaven. How'd they make it there? They were of good courage. And they fought the battle on. They fought the good fight of faith. You know what? You and I can do that too. Pray for me that I would do that. Yes.